I do. That would be wonderful if I could get a bit light. Just here. Thank you. Right. Thank you so much. Happy New Year, everybody, before I forget. I've been reading through Daniel lately, and, you know, it says there were seven seasons that were to pass over the king, and then a little later it called those seasons years. And so there were 7 years that were, you know, that he became, you know, something else. And so, you know, this is another year. It's another season. We were singing about it. It's a new year. It's a new time, a new season, a new year in our lives. And I was just thinking at the moment, you know, for me, what is ahead of me and before me at the moment just really seems to be pretty sweet these days. Life for me is just getting sweeter all the time. We used to sing it, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And, you know, it works if you stay with it. It really does. And, you know, some of these folks back here lived for hundreds of years. And I don't know how they had the faith to carry on, but they did. Talk about, you know, a long road. We were singing about that this morning. I've always thought I had a long road, and sure enough, that's the way it's turning out to be. You know, there is something, there is an upside, a bright side about having less numbers of people around. You get a kind of an intimacy back, or not, I shouldn't say back. It's not that it wasn't good before when all those, you know, multitudes were here. They're all great, but there is something about a smaller group that can really get quite close and intimate and really sweet. I'm really glad this morning to have my friend Shannon Stenge with me today. He is a good man of God, and I just actually really realized here just the other night that he's actually got his eyes and his heart, his eyes set upon the nations, and that is where he's going. He's just at that sort of cusp in his life, and I think that this is probably going to happen fairly soon. He will be moving out to the nations at some level and in some apostolic measure and way. And so we're believing God for that, and we want to do all that we can to help him get there. And everybody said, amen. So I have to be careful I don't go on and on here. One of my goals this morning is not to preach you to death, because I know you get lots of good preaching and teaching over the years. And so I do want to get to the point here, and then Shannon and I have some things on our hearts we want to do, and the Lord has actually confirmed this morning. Excuse me. We want to work with dreams and dream interpretation and just see how far we can get with that and then move on into healing, which again I have heard confirmed. So that's sort of the program. As I think if you remember, you know I did have a dream about this church that I shared with you. Thank you, my dear. God bless you. The water of life, is this something from the river that we're supposed to use? And it comes with strings attached. Excuse me. Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah. Wow. I'm easily confused. Now, where was I? The river. No. Where was I? Before that. You know, just to let you know about my health, I was to see the doctor here a couple of weeks ago. As you know, I had this surgery. You prayed for me, and I was back and forth. And I spent some time with you in September because I really was out of gas. I was weak. I just couldn't make a plan. But I'm getting back on my game now. My strength is back. I was to see the doctor who did this business with my plumbing here. And in November, and he said, I'm in great shape. He said, you're good for another 76 years. Isn't that terrific? Right. Amen. Praise God. Like a young man again. Isn't that marvelous? And the other word that I got the other day at one of the churches was regeneration, you know, physically. I'm getting regenerated. And so it's been a season of waiting and regenerating whatever is needed within me. And so we are on the upward way and getting on our game here for this year. Got some things on our hearts and things we believe the Lord has conveyed to us. And just to let you know, planning to go up to Haida Gwaii. I've never been to Haida Gwaii in my life. Just watched a documentary. Did you see it last night, Alan? The documentary on Haida Gwaii. Beautiful hour-long thing about their culture and the, you know, the beauty and pristine, you know, condition of that wonderful. I didn't realize it was 100 miles off the coast either. I hope we don't get. Anyway, we're fine. We'll be. So I get to go to Haida Gwaii. The Lord has finally opened the door. Pastor Bruce Brown from the Native Pentecostal Church in Vancouver was actually born in Haida Gwaii. I don't know why he'd ever come to the Big Smoke after being, you know, living up there, but anyway, he did. Must be the call of God. His daughter still lives up there, and we may be able to stay with her. But we're planning to go for 12 days, March 1 to 12. Is what the plan is. And so he's working on flights and stuff now, and I'll talk to him tomorrow. But that's the plan. So Pastor Bruce and I are going to go, and then I think Alan and Pastor Randy also have your hearts set on Haida Gwaii later on this spring with whoever else, you know, might, you know, join the team. So, so this is really something to be praying into and praying for and praying about. By the way, I did bring you a few pictures, just one poster of our mission to Japan last March. You know, you've pretty well probably heard the story. That's where I got sick, more or less collapsed into bed halfway through on the 18th. But the mission carried on because of the brothers who are with me. Brother Paul, who has been here before, is now in India. And by the way, they all say in India that they'd like me to come back. So I didn't know if I can get around there one more time in the next 15 years or not. But maybe we will. I'd love to. Love my friends and always hate to say goodbye. And by the way, I'm also feeling more at home here every time I come. I just, you know, the Lord. Shannon has been encouraging me to just pay attention to my metron. He and Brendan calls it my metron, my sphere of influence. And the people who don't like me and don't want to listen to me or, you know, anything to do with whatever, then don't worry about it. Just let them go. Forget it. Even those that you were born and raised with and all the rest of that. It's all about God and what he wants to do with our lives. And so we're trying to focus on that and just get on with the program and not fuss about those who would rather not have me around. And there are plenty of those, you may be sure. Anyway, excuse me. I shouldn't curse myself, you know. Please don't. Anyway, what can I say? I'm digging myself in a hole once again. So anyway, Shannon and I would like to work a bit with dreams this morning. And I have had yet another dream, a second dream about this church that I'll share with you after I unload this word here in a few minutes. And then we will move on into some of these things. And if you've had a dream recently, or there is some current revelation or something's going down, you know, prepare to share it. He that has a dream, let him tell it. Everybody say, let him tell it. And so, you know, as sometimes as awkward as they appear to be on the surface, when we do tell it, the Holy Spirit helps us open it up, and it always is for edification, encouragement, and comfort. And yet the Lord does not avoid the reality of the situation. Isn't it wonderful, you know, how God works? It really is marvelous. Okay, well now, actually, where I am going here, there are just a couple of places that I'd like to turn to in the Scriptures this morning, and then we'll get on with some other things. But James chapter 5 is where we're going eventually. But before we get there, let me just tell you this, that God earnestly and thoroughly prepared for change for 80 years before Israel's 400 years in Egypt was up. So they were there for 400 years, slaving away for nothing. By the way, he paid them all those wages at the end of 400 years. They did get paid, and they got well paid. So payday is coming. You may feel like you've been slaving away for little or nothing, overworked and underpaid for a long time. But everybody say, payday is coming. And for the last 80 years, now you would never know, but the river was running under the ice or under the ground, as we've already heard this morning. For 80 years, God was carefully and meticulously preparing the leader and the people for the profound transformation and change that was coming in Israel. He's been doing that in your life for many years, getting you ready for something, getting this church ready for tremendous transformation and change. And so this work of preparation goes on for quite a while before anything ever sort of breaks up to the surface. So God is long on preparation, short on the action. Everybody say, he's long on preparation, short on the action. My dad used to say, if you can ever get to the place where the Holy Ghost can actually use you for 5 minutes, you will make a difference in history. You will make an historical impact and difference if the Holy Ghost ever uses you, even just for 5 minutes. And if you can get a little more time out of it than that, then, you know, it just adds up. So he was getting both Moses and Israel ready for 80 years. Remember, God's call to Moses, he jumped the gun and then was off in the wilderness for another 40 years. And God prepared him was preparing him from his mother's womb and the time that she put him into the river. Everybody say, the river flows. And only God knew where it was all going to end when she put him in the basket that day and sent him down the river. But if you get into the river will somehow eventually take you where you're supposed to go. And so that's what was happening. And that preparation started then, and it went on for 80 years until he himself was actually ready to lead them out of bondage and into freedom. And so, and during all of this time, not just the 80 years, or even 100 years, or even the 300 or 400 years, they were crying unto God, God, help us. God, heal us. Lord, set us free. Send a deliverer. Save us. Heal us, help us, hold us, uphold us. Lord, we're suffering, we're slaving and dying under the lash of the whip of Pharaoh and all the rest of that was going on in Egypt. And for 400 years they prayed, and they continued to pray for the last 80 years without any knowledge, really, that God was actually carefully, meticulously preparing for the tremendous and then very sudden. It happened quickly, you know. There's a lot of suddenlies in the Bible. God is the God of the big surprise. That preaches well. But anyway, you know, he takes us by surprise, and all of a sudden, boom, God is on the scene after the preparation has been done. And so when the time finally came, Moses was thoroughly prepared and ready. Israel had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years while God was also preparing them for change as well, through the successive 40 years after they were out of Egypt. And so they got so hungry. We were singing about hunger and thirst this morning. They got so hungry and thirsty that every little oasis and well along the way, Bible says that they came to a place called Elim, where there were 12 wells and 70 palm trees, and they camped around there. And the great temptation would be to think and to say, well, you know, this is really sweet. It's great. What a relief from this dry desert that we've been wandering around in. Can't we just stay here and stop moving on? But how many know that God wants us to move on from the oasis? Excuse me. Oh, come out. It's coming out. And so everybody say, move on, brother. Turn to your neighbor and say, move on, brother or sister. You know, let's keep moving on. We used to say, sing it, move on, brother. Move on, sister. This is the moving day. Move a little closer. Go a little further. Move on, brother. Move on. And we need to move on into this new year, this new time, this new season. Keep moving on in your own life, in your business, with your family, in the church life. Keep moving upward and onward into the will and purposes of God. And so resist the temptation every time you come to some kind of an Elim in your desert experience. Resist the temptation to camp around there for the rest of your life and to finish your days in that place. Don't think that this is our inheritance, but the wilderness was never really God's ultimate will for Israel. God, you know, Elim was not really the goal. It was not the place where they were supposed to finish their course. They were to move on through the wilderness and actually come to the promised land and enter in. And so God is preparing you, has been preparing you, and will prepare you, and so that you don't have to take necessarily 80 years to get ready. It was 40 years for Paul. It was 12 years for Timothy. That's the amount of time it took God to get those guys ready to do the job. It took a long time. The first time I heard about going to India, it was 30 years later before I actually got to India. It actually took God, it took me 30 years to get ready to actually go to India in 1991. I first heard it about 30 years before that. And when I left, the Lord said to me about 10 days before I left, He said, 20 years ago, you were not ready. 20 years before, I sat on the front bench of a conference in Winnipeg with Steve and Ellen Nemeth and inquired of the Lord about India, and the heavens were brass and were silent. God heard my inquiry. He heard my cry, my call for direction. He said nothing. Silence was deafening. And it went on for 20 years, and then the Lord said India, and I went to India, and I've been back 10 times. And so when you're ready, then you'll be able to do the job and accomplish what God actually has in mind. So but it doesn't have to take 12 years or 40 years or 80 years as it did for these guys, or 30 years like it did for me. Maybe you're a quicker learner than I am. You know, some people really blossom and bloom a lot more quick, like my dad did and Les Pritchard did and a bunch of others did. You know, and they got up and running and did their job, and they were out of here when they were 60, more or less. And so I'll never see that again. But anyway, we're pressing on, and some of us just take a little longer to accomplish what the Lord has in mind. And, you know, when they did actually come to the border of Israel, some of those little tots were only spent a day or two in the wilderness. They were just babies when they crossed the Jordan into the wilderness. Just little ones. In fact, they were the thing of what was to come. They were a whole new, you would call it a Joshua generation, not a Moses generation. And these people were all, this whole new generation, they all had a different spirit. They all had a spirit like Joshua and Caleb. The Bible says those two guys had a different spirit from the rest of Israel. The rest of the people were unbelieving believers, and they bleached their bones in the wilderness, but it was their children. It was a whole new generation that God had to raise up who actually had a different spirit, a different attitude. And I've always been looking for this kind of people to walk with, work with, and worship with, and run with, and enter into the promised land with. You know, there are Christians, and there are Christians. There are real believing believers, and there are these unbelieving believers who don't believe what you say. You know, they're going to heaven. They're not going to hell. But they're just not going into the promised land. They're not going somewhere within the boundaries of the will and plan and purpose of God for their lives like God wants them to be. And so we're looking, I'm looking for, and I believe I've found it here with you folks and a few others, who people, Christians who have this different spirit, who have another spirit of faith, who are willing to actually cross over Jordan and enter in and press in to the plan and purposes of God and the inheritance. And everybody said, amen. Yeah, I think you heard that. So good. You're with it. You are actually with the program. And so God prepared, who's this here? Noah. It's getting better. They're getting better. God prepared Noah, for instance, in his day, for great, great change. You know, the Lord didn't just wipe everybody out and make another man. He could have done that, you know, but he didn't do that. He spent, hundreds of years getting Noah ready to bring the most profound transformation and change on the face of the earth that this world has ever known. That's Noah. But when he was ready, things really happened. And so the point is that there was an eternal purpose for Adam's race, and there still is. And that purpose could not fail. I can't overstate the importance of that. God's eternal purpose for you personally and for this church cannot fail. Jesus never fails. Sure, put your hands together and praise the Lord. His purpose for you, for this church, for this year is an eternal purpose, and it cannot fail. And whatever has happened or will happen will not ultimately thwart and stop the purpose, the eternal purpose of God in your life. And everybody said this time, amen. Yes! Amen. Yes and amen. Excuse me, I had to add that. So where was I here? Right. And so the plan was redemption. Somebody said God is redeeming our past and our present and our future, and God has this way. Somebody asked the Lord, do you have any real regrets? And the Lord said to them, according to this testimony I heard, he said, not really. And then, of course, I looked up Genesis 6 there where it says the Lord was sorry. It really grieved him that he made man. Now, that sounds like a regret to me, But anyway, the Lord said to this guy, you know, I don't really have any regrets on this side of that. I don't, because, you know, I've got this way about me of working everything out for good. I came up with an answer. You know, it was Noah. And then I came up with the ultimate answer, and it was Christ. I know how to redeem the worst possible situation that you can dream up. Does anybody believe that? Amen. You know, if that isn't true, then I give up. You know, I'll go home and retire or whatever they do then, you know. Yeah, so, excuse me. Anyway, sorry, Lord. But it is true. You know, there is a redemptive purpose in our lives, in this church, in this city, in this country, as bad as we think things are getting in Canada. God has a purpose for, an eternal purpose for this nation and all the nations that cannot be stopped. It can't be stopped. Put your hands together. You know what I heard about Iran recently? I heard that they're having the most amazing revival. Multitudes of those Muslims are coming to Christ. And it isn't because of anybody's great missionary work. It's just a sovereign visitation of God. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he's doing it with the Muslims in Iran, and that's not the only place, all over the world. But you know, that's why this revolution over there is going so well. It's a relatively bloodless revolution. The Ayatollah can't do nearly what he used to do when the people, you know, the people in those streets, they're Christians. A lot of those people are Christians. And because of that, it's a relatively bloodless transformation that is going on in Iran. And it's so quiet that we don't even hear about it, you know, much, you know, right now. I mean, it's just marvelous. So God has this way of making his kingdom come and overcome any situation you can come up with. And, you know, us people together, collaboration with the devil and the world and the flesh, we have made some pretty tough things for God to overcome. But he gets the victory every time. Because he's God. He just knows what to do. And he's got the jam and the wherewithal to do it all. Isn't that amazing? I'll never get over it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'll never get over it. This is the best news you have heard all day. Okay, well, I'm glad you're getting some joy out of this. Where was I? There was an eternal purpose. Oh, right, that's Adam. And that purpose is redemption and restoration and the full expression and manifestation of God in Christ and then in his people and in his church. And so what is the purpose? What is the purpose that God has for this church, for your life? The purpose of God is an habitation of God, a place where he could dwell in the earth. That's the eternal purpose of the church. God, you know, Moses said, Lord, you know, all these signs, wonders, and miracles are really great. And the Lord said, oh, well, you know, you like having me around, eh? And, he said, yeah, you know, your presence is really sweet. It's just the best. Well, the Lord said, you know, if you want to keep me around, build me a house. Make me a place. Everybody say, make room. Make room. Yeah. Build a habitation for God. That's what church is all about. That's what we're building here. This is not for ourselves. This is for God. You know, we used to have meetings for young people and for sinners and for the hungry and for the thirsty and for all of our needs and all this. You know, it's not about that really at all. What this is all really about is a habitation for God. Now, this meeting, you know, and all our meetings are for God. Anything we do, it's for God. It's for Him. It's not for young people's parties and Coca-Cola and hamburgers and hot dogs. It's for God. It's for the Lord's sake that we're doing all this. And so the purpose, the eternal, overwhelming, transcendent purpose of God is to make Himself a place to live and to be at home here on the earth. And that's the church. What do you think of that? You think it's a good plan? Excuse me, but I know the church is not perfect. Have you guessed that yet? You know, it's not perfect. And yet somehow God makes Himself at home in our midst and reveals and manifests His grace and His glory in ever-increasing ways in and through our lives, personally and corporately. And so the purpose is a habitation of God, which God could not find in all the vastly and the infinitely expanding universe. The Bible says the heavens and the heavens of the heavens cannot contain Him, but the church can. He's got a plan. He's designed the church in such a way as to contain the glory of the living God in a way that it cannot be revealed and manifested in all the expanding universe. So having said all of that, James chapter 5 and verses 7 and 8 says this, "Be patient, brothers." Everybody say, "Be patient." Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Brother, sister, be patient." Because this purpose is going to come to pass. You know, what God has planned and purposed is actually happening. It's going to happen. "Be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience." Oh, I'm not supposed to talk about my wife, but she's put up with me for over half a century. 53 years. That's long. Long patience. Long patience. How am I doing? I'll find out when I get home. Don't worry. I'd say, yeah. He has long patience. What is it? For the precious fruit of the earth. And has long patience for the precious fruit of the earth. Now, that's what God is looking for. He's like a farmer. He's planted the seed, and He has long patience for the fruit of the earth. That is what God is looking for in your life, in the life of this church, and in the life of the nation. He's looking for fruit, and He's got long patience for it until He receives the early and the latter rain. There was a whole movement that was that rose up around something called the latter rain in 1948. Tremendous, intense outpouring of the Spirit of God that shook this continent and was felt around the world. In the 1990s, I was in Sri Lanka, and they were still talking about North Battleford Revival 1948 in Sri Lanka in the 1990s. So it was heard, it was felt and heard all over the place. And so I was trying to read the Bible here. His long patience, verse husbandman waits for it. He has long patience until he receives the early and the latter rain. And then he said, verse 8, be you also patient. So he has long patience. Be patient, brothers. And then he said, be you patient. So it's mentioned twice because we really need patience to see all of this come to pass. Be you ye also patient. Establish your hearts. In other words, settle down. Stop fussing. Stop fuming. Stop being upset with God and with whatever all is going on in your life and in the church. Just settle down. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. In all the storms of life, we need some established, strengthened, settled, and established people. We need some stability in a very volatile world, a never-changing situation. Somebody said last night, it's all changing so fast. We need some people. The world needs some people. This city needs some people who are solid, who are established, who are settled, who are... Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the last little... So we're going to deal a little bit with dreams here in a minute. And I want to tell you about God's dream. It's right here in this chapter. You know, we talk about dreaming. And we have our dreams, and God gives them to us. And by the way, I take them seriously, and I try to work them through when I get them. I don't dream every night. But it might just encourage you to know that you're not the only dreamer around here. God also has a dream. God has a dream. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 37 here. 37. And that which you sow... you sow not that body that shall be, but bare grain. What does it say? Is that what it says? Huh? Not that body that shall be, but mere. Is that right? Okay, grain, anyway. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. Verse 38. But God gives it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Okay, so God has been sowing seed in the earth, and he gives a different body to different things that he is dreaming about. Verse 49 goes on to say, and here's the punchline, here's the bottom line to this whole thing, verse 49. And it says, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Everybody say, that's God's dream. That's God's dream in your life, for this church, for this city, for this province, for this nation, to bear the image of the heavenly. God created man in his own image. And, of course, that has been defaced and destroyed in so many ways. But God is all about restoring that image of God in your life, in the life of the church. And he's sown all this different kind of seed. You are sown, like he's given you a body as it has pleased him. Everybody say, I like my body. I accept my body. A lot of people don't, you know. That's a real... mental issue with many people. And so we need to accept and like what God has made and believe that this is God's will for you, and that God's real purpose is that you, in and through your body, will bear the image of the heavenly, that you will manifest the heavenly kingdom of Christ, if you will, the heavenly body. We're all going to get a better body that works better and all that stuff, when we get there, and all of this changes and so on. But in the meantime, he's working with this little bit of mud, and he's got a marvelous plan that in earth, these earthen vessels that we work with and struggle with to keep together and keep working and all the rest of that so much, he's got a plan to reveal and manifest his grace and his glory, and the image of the heavenly will come through our bodies and be manifested through our bodies to those around us and to the world as a witness. And that's God's dream. It's about as simple as I can make it right now. And I think you've heard enough. It's afternoon already. Okay. Oh, my dream. I had a dream. Another dream. You know the first dream I had about the sandwich and the carp attack, if you remember. And I tried to encourage you to just spit out the carp attack and eat the sandwich, because that sandwich represents the body of Christ here. It's the bread. And when I ate the sandwich in that dream, it was just so sweet. And so, you know, if you feel to be part of this work in an ongoing way, you're in for a treat. Because what is being offered here is really extra special sweet, especially sweet in terms of communion. It's a higher level. It's a sort of an enriched form of communion because of the sweetness. And it wasn't, there was some little something in between these two pieces of bread. And whatever it was kind of like strawberry jam, maybe like the blood of Christ, but whatever it was, it made the whole thing just really sweet. So you're in for a treat if you're part of this church, this body. Secondly, the second dream I had since I saw you last. I saw this house, which I believe is the church, this church. And there was a sidewalk. You know, sometimes they made the sidewalk right up against the sidewalk and the cement foundation at the bottom of this house. And I was on my knees on this sidewalk. I was not in the house. And I wish, maybe I could wish that I was, but I was not part of the house. And that's par for the course in my life. That's just God's thing for me. I was not in the house. I was not part of the house. I was on my knees, and there was a basement window, and I had my head and maybe almost my shoulders in the window in the basement. I have to tell you, it was dark down there. And I was working around like this with my hands. My hands were kind of going like this, and I was doing something. I was doing something in the basement of this house. And I was focused on it. And then Pastor Randy walked past me right here, like this. And he put his finger on my neck. He touched my neck like this with his finger, and it was sweet. It was a sweet touch, in the same way that kind of the same kind of sweetness that I experienced when I bit into that sandwich. It was that kind of sweetness. It was as, if I can say this, it was as sweet as a kiss. Something like that. But there was just a sweetness. It was kind of like the Father's kiss of approval on my neck here. You know how the Bible says the father fell on the neck of the prodigal, and, you know, I suppose he kissed him and all that stuff. But anyway, that's kind of what I felt. Just the touch of your finger on my neck. And it was approval. It was the kiss of the Father's approval on whatever I was doing down here in the dark. And as you all know, you must know, I don't know what I'm doing. And I almost never know what I'm talking about. I don't know what's going on. And sometimes I complain to my wife, I wish, you know, they'd tell me what's going on. But they never do, you know. Excuse me. Yeah. Anyway, that's my dream. And so I just believe, you know, by the way, it was a good house. It was not a fancy place, but it was a good, solid, square house. It had a good foundation under it. And I think perhaps part of the, you know, sort of the, you know, what the Lord might be saying about it all is that I, or maybe all of us, need to go down into the basement of our souls and come up with, you know, the right answers. And, you know, the Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. And the Bible says, he that gives a right answer kisses with the lips. There is a right answer. There is something about wisdom and a right answer that I believe that we can get as we go down into the basement of our souls and come up with it. And the foundation is solid, it's square, it's well laid, it's strongly laid, Pastor. You've done a great job over 25 years. And this work, I prophesy in Jesus' name, is not going to blow away in the storm. This house is well made, it's square, it's straight, it's well founded, and it will stand. And everybody said, okay.
You know, Lionel, that dream that you had, yeah. I haven't heard that one yet.
No, that's right.
Yeah. But, you know, the Lord sends us prophets to work on us. And I believe that what the Lord was doing in that dream is that he's sending prophets to work on us. And he's sending you, Lionel, to this house in this season to give this word. And the other words that you've spoken over the years, to work on the hidden dark things in the house in order to speak a word of light. In other words, what are you doing? Like, your hands are waving in the darkness, but in reality, what you're doing is you're speaking into the darkness. And you're speaking life and light into the things that are hidden, even from the people that live in the house. And there's a reality there where sometimes we live in a house, but we don't go down into the basement because that's where the cobwebs are, and that's where the dampness is, and that's where the darkness is. And somebody needs to turn the light on in the darkness. And sometimes it takes someone who's outside the house to be sent to the house to speak life and light and wholeness into those places. Because, you know, a damp, dark basement can be turned into a wonderful, livable suite, can't it? It can be a place of habitation. It can be a place where there is no longer cobwebs and mold and dampness. But it can be a place where expansion takes place as the family grows. You understand what the Lord is saying to you right now as a house? He's preparing you for expansion. And I believe that that is the word, the interpretation that Lionel's dream has for your body, is that he is sending prophets to you, not just Lionel, but I believe that there will be others. He is bringing you prophets that will poke into the dark, damp places in this body and speak life and light and prepare you for expansion. Expansion of people coming into the house, the family expanding. You know, like there's that word, where there is no oxen, the manger is empty. The manger is not going to be empty. there's expansion coming to this house, and he's preparing you for that. And it may not feel like it. It may not look like it. And the Lord is saying, don't look at the darkness. Look at the prophets poking in your window. And have an expectancy in your soul and in your spirit that the Lord is turning the light on. He's getting rid of the cobwebs. He's taking a shot back to the dry, to the water that's in the corner of the basement. And he's going to bring out the drywall, sheet it, get it ready for habitation. Amen? So we're going to invite anyone. Oh, yes.
Before, I started out by saying the Lord is getting us ready for change. So that, you know, through all that the storm that you have been and are going through, the Lord is bringing a transformation and a change to the kind of witness and testimony and light that will be shining out of this lighthouse from now on. This is going to be a different church, you know, when all of this changing is done, and it's going to be a bigger, better witness and light than has ever been before.
Yeah, in fact, when you go through a renovation of a house, the house gets changed. The house gets changed. And quite often, if you do the renovation right, it means that it's more useful. The space becomes more useful. And it can accommodate more people. So we're going to step now into allowing you to share with the body that you're part of a dream that you might have had. And we're going to work with you how to interpret that. If you have not yet come to a place where you understand what that dream is, it doesn't matter. Maybe it's a dream that you think is just sort of inconsequential, but maybe it isn't. Maybe it's significant. You know, all dreams come from God. So, anyone here?
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, come on up. Come on up. Wonderful. So your name is Shelley?
Shelley.
Wonderful. So tell us your dream, Shelley.
I had it last night, actually. I didn't even tell my husband. I know. And I wasn't going to come this morning. Anyways, yeah. Anyway, the dream is, it's hard to explain it because it's faded, as dreams do. They fade. But anyways, my daughter was getting married, but she's already married. And so it's kind of like, you can't get married because you're already married. But then it was me. I was getting married, but I said, I can't get married. I'm married to Steve. And that's the gist of the dream.
Okay, so you, and where was the context? Where were you standing in this dream?
Don't confuse her.
I have no idea.
Can I tell you?
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, my mouth is open. It's hard to shut it off. I talk too much. But not this time. This is right. You know, both your daughter and you, you know, are married in the natural. What the dream is about is your inner marriage to Christ. You know, obviously, you can't be or you shouldn't be getting married again in the natural. But in Christ, you are actually, this is about your marriage to Christ. You're getting married to Christ. You're part of the body of Christ, both you and your daughter. And, I think that's about it. It's about intimacy. Marriage is about intimacy. And so that's, you know, when Jesus said, depart from me because I never knew you, that word has to do actually with intimacy. I mean, you know, the ultimate intimacy that we understand in the natural is sex in a marriage, and that's actually what the word is about. It's, you know, it's that intimate. Only, of course, in God, it goes infinitely beyond what we experience in the natural. Yeah.
Now, were there any other details about the dream?
I had another daughter that was in there. She's not married, and I thought she's the one that needs to get married, not us. It's just like, it was just like in the beginning of the marriage, and she really wants to get married. So she was kind of a little bit miffed. Yeah, so.
And was there anything else with regard to the context. I know Lionel goes for the juggler. I got it. But quite often, if we unpack more details about the dream, there are hidden things. You know, it says that kings have the responsibility to seek out the hidden things of God. And so that's why I'm asking the questions.
It's erasable. It's erased.
Okay, but yet there was another thing that came out here, and that is that you had another daughter, mm-hmm. right? And so what I believe that the Lord is saying to you, even in this, is that there is a desire for, and here's another thing, is the other daughter the younger daughter?
She's the baby.
She's the baby. Okay. So here's what I believe that the dream is saying, is that there is a, like Lionel was saying, there's a spiritual marrying of our hearts to the things of God and to Christ. We become the bride of Christ. We become married in intimacy with God. And there is a hunger in a younger generation for that intimacy which you and your immediate daughter are beginning to experience and are being called into. And in a way, there is, by this marriage, this intimacy that you are beginning to walk into, and I think that you represent also a generation of people, that there is a generation, and you're part of that, that are experiencing and beginning to walk into this intimacy. And by doing that, you unlock a desire within a generation that is not yet experiencing those things. And as you pursue, so in other words, she's sitting there miffed. And part of you as a mother saying, I'm not supposed to get married. She is. She's the unmarried one. And the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, carry on with the ceremony. Get married. Dive into intimacy, because it's that pursuit of that intimacy that is going to continue to unlock desire in a generation that has not yet experienced the presence of God and the power of God. And they will, in their time, experience it, but only if you continue on.
Can I just confirm? Both my daughters love the Lord, and my youngest one who's into music, and her songs come from the secret place. There's so many distractions and things that come at her from stealing, trying to steal the word. And then my other daughter that's married, is that she loves the Lord too, and it's just like, there's deception, right? And the Lord keeps telling me, what I keep getting is, keep pressing in and it'll filter down. I got to get the revelation of all that He has provided for us and walk in it and start receiving it and let it manifest in my life so that they can see and say, okay. You know, does that make sense?
That's wonderful. Lord, we release you got something else?
This is about generational stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, as you were just saying, just like to confirm that, your desire for intimacy with the Lord will awaken a desire in the next generation. Mm-hmm. And they too will enter in to the intimacy with Christ that you're burdened about. There's a verse here, Isaiah 54:1. Sing, O barren, you that did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you that did not travail with child. Like, this is your daughter who's not married, but she wishes she was. For the Lord says, more are the children of the desolate. More are the God is going to give that next generation who feels barren and desolate. More are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. So even in sort of the absence of the marriage and the intimacy that is really hungered and thirsted for, God is going to make the next generation fruitful and productive, perhaps beyond their wildest dreams.
Amen. Yeah, they got the thumbs up over there. So we're going to release a blessing over this dream in your life, but also I believe that this is, because she was called up here by the Holy Spirit to share this with us, this is a dream that we can enter into. Yeah. And so as we pray, just a blessing on Shelly. It's Shelly, right? Yes, that we're, just enter into this if this witness is in your spirit. So, Father, we release a blessing of intimacy over Shelley. We call forth intimacy, and we just speak wholeness to that inner man within her. Oh, we release intimacy. And Father, as you marry her in the spirit, may her heart be free. May her heart be free. We release intimacy into your spirit.
And we pray for the next generation, Lord, that somehow what's going on in Shelley's heart and life will be transmitted to the next generation, both to the married and the unmarried daughter, so that they will both be productive and fruitful in either their married or unmarried states. In Jesus' name, we release that. We release fruitfulness into this and the next generation.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right. Come on up. We'll start with one.
Very short. Okay, the first one, about a month ago, beginning of the dream was on my left, it was a big barn, a huge barn, the same style as the one in Azusa. And that barn.
Yeah, yeah, barn.
Yes, and it was empty. And then it was a car, F1, car racetrack. That was two red cars. I was in one of them, and a man of God was in the other. So we were going. And then it stopped by the barn, and it stopped suddenly. It did no crash, nothing. It just stopped suddenly. And it was so sudden that in some ways I was projected up in the air, and I kind of turned 180 degrees looking towards that barn, and I landed safely on my legs. And the meaning by that, the next trip I was towards walking or serving toward that barn to fill up that barn.
Okay.
That's the end of the dream.
Fill up the barn.
Yeah.
Okay. And you said something significant. You said that this was like a barn that had to do with Azusa Street?
Yeah.
There is a barn in Azusa Street? Oh, I see. Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. And there were two cars, Formula One cars, racing
yes.
around the barn?
The other way around, F1 is that way.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well,
yes.
Yes. Okay. Good. So here's what I think that the dream is saying. There's a barn that represents the move of God that took place in Azusa Street, the revival that started at Azusa Street, the Pentecostal revival in 1904, I believe it was. But there's something significant about that barn. What do barns or what do houses represent? They represent a container for a move of God, okay? And the barn was empty, which meant that whatever had started there had left the building. It had gone out into the field. It had, you know, and if you think about it, where Azusa Street started, that has carried on and gone out into the world. In other words, it's not in the barn anymore. The barn is empty. And yet there's this picture of a Formula One, a very fast racetrack, a very fast race.
Excuse me, okay. It sounds to me like that first barn with nothing in it that has gone out into something bigger. Was there something in the second barn?
Was
the
second? It was the same barn.
It was the same barn.
Just one barn.
Oh, but did it get bigger? Did
no.
you? Oh, oh,
no.
It stayed the same.
It had to be filled up.
Oh, it needed filling up again.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yes. I'm just wondering if it's not associated with the first, you know, the early Pentecostal revival, that you know, the fire is gone, the glory is gone, and it needs restoration and renewal and revival. Yeah.
Well, this comes to the point about the racetrack, okay? So we have two Formula One race cars, red, going at high speeds around and around and around the barn. And you mentioned that the other car was driven by another minister, or a ministry. Now, was it just a man of God? It wasn't specific?
A very important.
Okay, so that's important. So what I believe that that is saying is that, in a way, the church has been traveling around and around Azusa Street. Significant ministries have been traveling around the ministry that started in Azusa Street, but it's been traveling around it. And all that while, there's nothing in there. Meaning that the move moved. Remember Lionel was saying, we need to move with God? So the movement of God that started at Azusa Street has moved out into the nations. It has gone. It has fulfilled its purpose in the history of God. And yet there is something about that move that has caused ministries to continue to circle around something that is now empty. And the Holy Spirit is saying, and yet, even though these ministries are circling around and there's, you know, a lot of fire and fury with Formula One, it's a great show, you know? Formula One is a great show. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm going to stop the show. I'm going to stop the show that just circles around an empty barn, and I'm about to catapult or release ministry to do a 180 and set them on their feet on the ground outside of these Formula One ministries in order to do what? He said it, to fill the barn again, which means that God has left us with a container, an idea, which is revival, Pentecostal revival, that he is about to fill once again. But he's going to do it not with Formula One ministries. Do you understand what he's saying to us right now? He's saying, I'm not going to fill this barn with people who are driving Formula One ministries. I'm about to stop that, and I'm about to release men who are commoners to begin to do the work of filling that barn once again. Amen? Is that witness with you, brother? Okay. So we can all enter into this again, right? And so we're going to receive this word as if we all are part of that other Formula One ministry that's getting catapulted out, doing a 180, set on our feet, to then begin doing the work of filling the barn once again. So, Father, do it again. We ask for a release of the anointing, that Pentecostal anointing, to travel now with your power, with your authority. No longer are we going to be walking in showmanship, but, Father, we are going to be standing with feet planted firmly on the ground to fill that barn once again. Father, we ask for an anointing. And I release an anointing upon this brother right now. Pentecostal revival. Father, we speak a blessing on him. And Father, we speak a wholeness to his being. Come, Holy Spirit. Do it again. Do it differently. But you've prepared him as a container for your glory. You've prepared us as a container for your glory. And so I release your glory onto your people here this morning. Amen.
Yes, Lord, amen. Thank you for delivering us from the showbiz that so easily becomes part of church life and witness. Thank you, Lord, for stopping the show. Thank you, Lord, for catapulting and releasing the people, the common people, out into a whole new stance and position, on their feet and ready and prepared to do the job and refill and restore and revive the church. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your humble servant, Lord, who puts himself in the shoes of just the commoner, although he's not really that way. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing on Alan's life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness in bringing the revelation of God to us this morning. We do give God the glory today and all the praise in Jesus' name. Let's put our hands together.
Thank you, Father.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord, for showing us what's going on.
So what Alan just said is that his second dream confirms this dream. So I don't know that we're going to interpret this one, but what we'll do is we'll listen to it, okay? And then we'll just listen to the Holy Spirit, seeing if there's any interpretation that we need to add. Because if it's confirming, then we've already received the interpretation. You get it?
Okay. It was a huge airplane there on the front of me. This airplane's going from continent to continent, you know. And I was there outside, and to go to the airplane, you had to climb up the stairs. And I was to go into that airplane. And beside me, it was again another powerful man of God on my right. And $10,000 were given to me. It just blew me out, and I woke up.
All right, so...
It sounds like you have something to do with the nations, my friend. You know, I know you've got this sort of apostolic thrust and push in your within you. You got you up to the Arctic. You've been back and forth to Morocco. You're really a sent one, a missionary, an apostle to Morocco. Morocco, isn't it?
Yes.
And it sounds like probably, you know, it's a big plane, and the Lord is going to provide what you need to get on board and go to the nations, because you're not done yet. Is that right?
Yes.
You think?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, your work
and the airplane can, I believe, can be this fellowship also.
Yeah.
And this fellowship being used to go all over the world.
Yes. Yes.
It already has started that way, to go all over the world,
right,
and it's
sure.
going to keep going.
Right.
Just.
Oh, that's why I feel at home.
Blessings. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All right. I think I saw Donna's hand. You had your hand up earlier. So are you going to come up? And we'll continue to do this. So this isn't the end. I just had seen her hand earlier.
Well, this is a dream that I had a few months ago, and I'm in my living room. It's really large, and there's a lot of windows, but regardless of that, the living room is full of light. It's just so brilliant, radiant, and I guess I've been cleaning it up. There's no furniture in it, and there's hardwood floors, which I don't have, but and then in... I have a bay window, and in that area, I think it was that area, maybe there were not windows, it was just so bright, there's a lot of plants. And I go over and I look at those plants, they're quite large, and I think, I need to clean this up. And so I start sort of hacking at them, and then I get to a place where I notice that the hardwood, there's no hardwood there, it's just earth. And then, so I'm looking at this earth, and I start to dig. I think I decide that one of the plants has to be dug out or something. And as I dig, the hole gets pretty deep, about this deep, and it's about that wide. And I look down, and it's got water in it, and snake, or snakes. Ugh. And that was the end of the dream.
Okay. So... do you know what a living room is, or a house, when it's you in the house? It typically refers to your being. This is the house that God has given me to live in. And so everything that I have to do, I do inside of my house. It's a private place. It's a place where I live. Sometimes a house can refer to a church. It can refer to a body of people. But I believe that in this case, he's talking about your house. Now, when you have lots of windows in your house, that means that you have vision. You have the ability to see. Quite often a seer or a prophet has large, expansive windows in their life. And I believe that, Donna, this is what God is saying about you, is that he's made you a seer, that you see things around you. But you made a point to say that despite the windows, there was light, lots of light inside, and that is the light of Christ within you. And he's saying that to you because there's a brilliance or a brightness that comes from within that actually shines out of your windows. So when you see things out in the world and in the church that you're part of here, the light shines through your windows and gives light to those who are outside. But yet there's this corner over here by a bay window where there's some plants, and you're intuitively knowing that something's up, that something's going on in that corner. And you begin to hack away at the plants, and that speaks to pruning. You see what I'm saying? So the Holy Spirit is drawing you to do some pruning in that corner of your life. And as you prune and begin to cut away the things that, you know, are just extraneous, he begins to say, you need to stop working on the plant and you need to go to the root. And there's something underneath the root. And so you've dug a hole, a very sizable hole. And what that speaks to also is that you've got good soil. You understand what I'm saying? Like, something can't grow that needs hacking. You know, my wife grows cactuses. She doesn't grow plants inside the house. We got lots of cacti. But when you have really fertile soil, you end up with a jungle. And that's what I believe the Holy Spirit is saying about your life, is you've got a jungle because you've got fertile soil. And so as you're digging down in this fertile soil that is who you are, he's just giving you revelation that maybe there's something below in the roots. And that's what the snake is referring to, is that something that needs to be extracted. In other words, there's a pruning of branches, right, that causes more fruitfulness. But there's also sometimes things that are deeply hidden in our life that God reveals to us so that we can just simply go and extract it. You know, the snake needed to be extracted from the garden, right? And so does that witness with you?
Yes, and he has been doing pruning and such, and generational and family stuff. When these dreams were shared today, I didn't know if maybe that also spoke of the foundations about the basement and such things that are here.
I believe that in this case, the dream is about your life. And that the Lord is speaking specifically because he's made you a seer. Do you see what I'm saying? He's made you the one with all of these windows. And especially, you know, it's significant that this dream took place in front of the bay window. You know what a bay window is? It's a window that is prominent in the house. It's the place of, it's, in other words, this is the primary place of your ability to see out. And it's in that place that all of the growth is taking place. Because that is the place where the light of his presence comes in through the window as you see out into the world. And so this is the place where you have the most fruitfulness. This is the place where pruning needs to take place, but this is also the place where hidden things in your roots, he's about to begin to give you the wisdom and knowledge to extract them. Okay? And so this is not a when God speaks to us, he speaks to us to redeem things. You understand? So in other words, he doesn't expose things to humiliate us. He exposes things to redeem. And so I believe, Donna, what the Lord is doing right now even is showing you that you have greater fruitfulness ahead of you. And you've already begun to hack away, and he's going to give you the ability to go down into the root of something in your life that will allow you to extract the snake from the garden. Amen. Yeah. So we're going to...
Do you have... you got children?
No.
No children. But you have other family, you know, obvious connections, you know. Right. So, you know, it would seem...
I do have a son that is like a spiritual son.
Yes, right. It seems like the plants, I would think, you know, are your, at least your family connections, you know, your... You know, the other members of the family, plants that you have been in the past working to prune. But the Lord is saying, and I think Shannon's right, that it's time to stop pruning and dig the hole and get down into the root of the matter, to some foundational things in your life and in your family. And, you know, the water is a picture of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, the devil, you know, the snakes are demons. And the devil isn't afraid of, you know, he comes into the presence of the Lord. Still does. I mean, you know, you must know that the devil comes to church sometimes and does what he can to mess things up. And so, you know, that's what he's doing in your own life, your own family situation. You do have a well. There is water. It is the Holy Spirit. The water is clean, you know, and it's pure. But the demons, you know, have attacked you and your family, and they need to be cast out, you know, and they can be, and they will be, and so that the water will flow out, you know. And so don't be afraid, you know, because the Lord is with you, and you know.
And more specifically, even as Alina was saying that, I believe that in that understanding of what he just added to the interpretation is the understanding that what we're dealing with here is a snake in the family roots.
Yeah.
Do you understand what it is? So in other words, it's not something that, you know, it's my personal life or, you know, like what's going on in my own personal life. Sometimes we overthink things. The root speaks to our family lineage in the past. And so this is where the Lord is saying, dig down into those roots and explore and find the snake and extract it. Amen? Well, yeah, and snakes refer to lies. And so there's a family lie or a lie over your family lineage that maybe the Lord is beginning to expose to you. Does that witness with you? As we say it, I just see this deep breath coming over you.
Yeah, I've been doing some of that.
So sometimes we don't understand what God is revealing to us, but he gives us wisdom ahead of time so that we can then walk in confidence.
Some kind of curse, you know, that has been received by tradition of the fathers. You know, things we all, you know, are born, most of us are born with these things, and we think they're normal and they're not. But the Lord has made provision and enabled us to reverse the curse and cut off the curse. So, Lord, we just do that right now for Donna. In the name of Jesus, we reverse the curse in her family lineage and down through the generations. We cut off the roots of those things in Jesus' precious name. And we release the wells of salvation to flow up and deliverance, to flow up and flow out of her life and out of her house and even out through the windows until it just pours out all over the place and brings blessing and refreshment and healing and fruitfulness wherever it flows in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Donna. Amen. Okay. Who would like to come next? Okay. All right. Well, we actually, I have a dream that was for the body of Christ, and maybe I'll pause right here. I'll share my dream, and then we'll do what the Lord had said that we were supposed to do with that. And then after that, if anyone else wants dream interpretation or prophetic words, Lionel and I will stay here, and we'll just continue on doing this. But thanks for telling us that, Randy. So last Sunday, I was about to preach at another church, and I wake up in the morning at 5 a.m. with a dream that the Holy Spirit had woken me up with. And the dream was this. I was in a field that was fenced around, and it was a field of wheat, and I was in this field with other people. And next to the field, traveling from the distance over here all the way to the distance over there, outside the fence were these tall hydro towers. You know what I'm talking about? Those high voltage power line towers. And the towers were outside the fence, and they were traveling, and they were carrying these high voltage wires from the one distance over there to the other distance there, but they were going past the field on the outside of this field. And as I'm standing in the field, all of a sudden, I feel the ground begin to shake. And as the ground begins to shake, I notice over in this far corner of the field over here, where the wires are traveling from here to over there, and in this corner where the wires are traveling to somewhere else, the ground begins to crack open. And as the ground begins to crack open, the tension on the wires snaps the wires off of that tower. And as it does, the towers that are along this field begin to crumble, and they begin to fall into the field, bringing the power lines down with them. And as the towers hit the field, a pastor jumps up out of the field and wanting to protect people from that are in the field from getting electrocuted, he grabs hold of the power lines to keep them from falling on the field because they'd snapped off on that end. And in that moment that he grabbed hold of the power lines, we all realized, including him, that there was no power in the power lines. And in an instant after that, the power lines all popped off of the towers and were laid out randomly in the field. And in that moment, all of the people standing in the field with me realized that the power was about to be turned on. Now, we get a dream like that. And I got that dream 5 a.m. last Sunday. What do we do with that? Well, we have to begin to search out, what does this mean? Because it's not just, like, there's some obvious things that we sort of already understand about that dream, but there's more to it, because the Lord gives us dreams in context. And so, as I got that dream at 5 a.m., I'm like, what do I do with this, Lord? And the Holy Spirit whispered to my spirit, and he said, go find out when the next earthquake, or the latest earthquake had taken place. And so, you know, I go to my phone, go down to my office, find my phone, and I go, Siri, when was the latest earthquake? And up comes this map. And so I look at this map, and it's a map that only registers earthquakes of, I think, 3.5 and above, because, you know, there are just way too many of them below that threshold. And so I'm looking at this map, and right at the top of the list, at exactly the time that the Holy Spirit told me to look for the latest earthquake, at 5:16 in the morning, at that very moment that the Holy Spirit told me to look for where the latest earthquake had taken place, there was a 4.0 earthquake in Healy, Alaska. The Holy Spirit says, go find out the history of Healy. And in Healy, Alaska, over the last 100 years, there have been about 8 or 9 major earthquakes, all like 7.0 and above, with one being like 9.2. There's only 1,000 people that live in Healy, Alaska. Thank God, right? You know, because there would be no structures left in that town. But what the Holy Spirit was saying to me in that moment, I realized something. 5 a.m. means grace. It means redemption. He gave me the dream at 5 a.m. And he said, I'm about to redeem something for my church. 4 stands for creation, and 4.0 means like the four corners of the world. I was in a square field, the four corners of the world. There is a harvest coming in the earth that we are invited to be a part of. And he is about to release healing power back to the church. And we as a church have been standing in a field, and we have allowed structures, ministries, to erect power lines outside of the field. We have stood by while the power that we have longed for has bypassed us. We have watched while structures have been built to convey power from the presence of God to somewhere else. And we have longed for experiencing the healing power that comes from God's presence. And yet, we have stood there watching it, outside, unattainable, kept out of our reach. And all this time, we have been unaware that the power has been turned off in those wires. And yet, we still look with longing to experience that power. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I've heard your cry. I've heard your cry. And I am about to release healing into the field once again. We had that word about Azusa Street this morning. The barn is empty. The power lines are, there's no power in them. But he is about to do something in this moment. There's an earthquake about to take place in the church that will destroy the structures that have kept power from the hands of those people who have desired it. And so we are invited right now to enter into this dream, into the reality of this dream. And so as we wrap up this morning, I'm going to invite everyone who wants to be a part of this new power that is about to be released. We're going to come, we're going to pray for a release of healing power for the church once again to operate in an anointing that transforms limbs, eyes, hearing, backs, everything about the physical realm that needs healing. There is a healing that God is about to release to the body today. So come forward, church. We're going to release this, and we're going to believe that we are part of the people that will receive this new anointing. Thank you, Lord. Amen? So, Father, we receive your anointing this morning. We are those who are crying out for an anointing to come upon us. We are standing in your field and we are crying out saying, Father, turn the power on. Turn the power on. Make it accessible to me. Yes, so Father, we receive right now your healing. We receive your healing. We receive your healing. Lionel, why don't you start on that end and just begin laying hands on people? No?
We need to let the people go. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful response of your people to this word, this revelation that has come. Thank you, Lord, that as we all come to stand here before you right now, we receive. Would you like to say this after me, just everybody together? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for revealing to us what you're doing in the church and in our day. In Jesus' name, we receive that healing power. Release it now in us and to us and through us in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for redemption and redeeming us in every way in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's put our hands together and praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming and responding so unanimously to the revelation. Thank you for your patience with us this morning. We get a little carried away sometimes. Sorry. Thank you, Pastor. We're done,
anybody
eh?
That has to go, go
yes,
ahead.
Yes,
if you
right.
want to stay for ministry, stay up here. That's
yes.
good.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Bless
right.
you.
I
guess we can turn that off now.
Oh. You may want it for the dreams. Do you want to?
Oh, I thought maybe if anyone wanted dream interpretation, we'd just.